Welcome to Rome. This is The Bittersweet Life with Katie Sewell and Tiffany Parks. Hello, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell.
I'm Tiffany Parks.
Tiffany in Rome, Katie in Seattle, and we do have a special guest today, but before we bring her in, I want to just do a quick thank you. If you've been listening to the show every week, you know that we put out the call to try to replace my very trusty, very old traveling microphone, the very microphone that Tiffany and I started this show on back in 2013. It was kicking the bucket. We can just say I had had it repaired once before, and that lasted for a little while, and then it was falling apart. And so we put out the call asking those of you who love the show if you wouldn't mind helping us afford to buy a new microphone. And we made it. We made the goal. The microphone was ordered. It just arrived. It looks beautiful. It actually looks exactly like the microphone that we used to have, but it's, what, 10, 12 years newer. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to the names of the people who chipped in to help us get that microphone. So thank you very much to Jill and Joanne and Susan and Eula and Robert and John and another Susan, Linda, Stefania, and Karen. Thank you so much to all of you. And we did have one anonymous person. So thank you, anonymous person as well, who did not want to be named. You guys are the best. And of course, it's never too late to support this show if you really love it. Just look in the show notes to find ways to keep us going. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Tiffany, why don't you introduce our guest?
Okay, well, today we are joined by Melissa Muldoon, who is the founder of the Studentessa Mata website, which is now in its 15th year. And this website, which began as a blog about Melissa's journey to learn Italian, has since grown into a platform where she teaches Italian herself and offers online conversation practice. Melissa also hosts the podcast Tutti Matti per l'Italiano and runs the Matta YouTube channel. She's the author of four novels set in Florence, Arezzo, and Rome, featuring female Italian historical figures such as Isabella de' Medici, Artemisia Gentileschi, and Sofonisba Anguissola. And as if that were not enough, she also leads immersive language and cultural trips to Italy twice a year. So thank you, Melissa, so much for joining us.
Oh, grazie, Per. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Wow. You've been busy, Melissa. That's all I can say. Yes, thank you so much for being here. I think both Tiffany and I have a lot of questions for you. Tiffany, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I would love to know, because, you know, all of us Italophiles have our own story. What is your story? How did you come to love Italy and the Italian language particularly? What was the thing that brought you to that love?
Well, I'm an artist and I have had a 20-year career as a graphic designer. I went to Florence when I was in college and I didn't go there to study the language. I wanted to have a foreign abroad experience. I grew up in the Midwest. My dad was a college professor and so we had foreign exchange students with us who, and I was just wanting to have my own foreign exchange program. And I went to study art. I went to study painting and I went to study art history. Most of the kids there were there to study Italian. I had 5 years of German under my belt and I had no desire to study a language and didn't think I really had a talent for a language. So I spent most of my time skipping classes because I made my teachers cry because I couldn't conjugate verbs. And when I came home, I threw away my dictionary, never thinking I would need it again. But I came home and started my career. I got married. I have three lovely boys. It was going great, but I wanted something only for myself. And my mother sent me a book about, I think it was Francis Mai's book, Under the Tuscan Sun. And I read it and I was really ashamed I hadn't learned more of the language, all the Italian words that were rolling around in that book. And so I surprised my husband. I just went out to a bookstore and I bought my first grammar book. And I just started learning the language. I didn't open my mouth for a full year. I was just absorbing, trying to, it was like a big puzzle I wanted to put together and figure out how all the pieces worked. And then I started reaching out. As I reached the next level, I went to evening classes. I started doing everything under the sun to create this immersion at home because I couldn't travel. I had a career, I had three little kids under my desk, doodling and doing their homework. And one night, after about, I don't know, I've been studying for a while. My husband was out traveling. I had a big bottle of wine on the desk, and I said, I have to start a blog. What's it going to be about? Of course, Italy. Because at that point, I was learning everything from the language. I was watching movies. I was learning all about the culture, starting to read books. And I wanted to offer back to people who were starting their language learning journey to advice, consigli, things that I had done to reach where I was at that level. And so I started this blog, and at first it was all in Italian. And I was a purist. I was learning the language, sharing my secrets. And every time I went into a bookstore, I was always looking for that silver bullet, that book that was going to put me over the edge and make me fluent. But what really counted was writing every day on this blog site. I wrote, I had friends who joined me, who then became Facebook friends, or my Facebook friends joined me, and we had conversations. It gave me a purpose every day to write and think and be in Italy. If I couldn't be there physically, I created my own Italy at home. And my kids grew up thinking I was this crazy pazza matta woman who thought she was Italian. Well, I have no Italian blood at all. I've done the DNA tests. I have no bloodline at all to Italy, but it's just like something within me, something about the country really spoke to me. I like the family orientedness of the culture and the food and just the art, obviously, and the language. It was just beautiful. And when I started traveling, then kids got older, took my husband to Italy. Amazing things happened when I opened my mouth and started speaking the language. I remember one night we were in Gubbio and we were in a bar late at night, and I was like, I'm not leaving this country until I actually have a conversation with a real person, not a waiter, not a, taxi driver, but they're happy to talk to you and I'm happy to talk to them too. The people are so amazing when you open your mouth and actually speak, and it doesn't matter if you're mixing up your words or your grammar tenses. And so we started having this conversation over wine, the whole bar, it was a tiny little place, about music. And then at one point, a gentleman stood up and said, Signora, vengo con me. And I was like, oh, yes, let's go. And my husband, no, he's an axe murderer. We can't follow him. But we did. We went up and down through the streets of Gubbio, and he took out this huge key, unlocked this huge door, and literally, the language opened a door for me because he was a truffle hunter and he started opening all these, marmalades that he had made in his own recipes. And he opened a bottle of wine, and there we were having this amazing party. And we kept in touch after that. I wrote to him, that was so cool. That was so cool. I want to bring this experience to other people who come with me to have them get past their inhibitions and try to speak and have these experiences that I was having.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like you are the first person that has ever had a literal door open for them on
Yes.
this entire journey we've been on in the Bittersweet Life by learning a language. That's fantastic.
How much time? I'm just curious the timeline. So you were in college when you went and studied art in Italy, and the language at that time, it did not capture you. So how many years between then and when you picked up that grammar book? I'm just curious. And did something happen? Did you see an Italian film? Were you reminiscing about your travels? Like, what happened to
I think at one point, I think working women, I don't know, I just was sharing so much of myself with my family that I just really wanted something all my own. And it became this project, and it captured my imagination. Not only was the blog a really interesting way for me to talk about the language, but it also brought in all my creativity as well, because I was then illustrating and creating images to match, because I really wanted it to pop and have some kind of emotive feel. So reaching out to people so that they would stay engaged. And as I said, the first year or two, I was just writing in Italian. And after a bit, schools in Italy started reaching out to me and invited me to put together small groups to come and study at their schools. And so that fit perfectly with my idea that to learn a language, you need to know the culture, and to know the culture, you need to learn the language. But there's so many idioms, food idioms in Italian language that go just because they're such big foodies. And so that spoke to me, being able to take that experience that I had in Gubbio to open up doors for other people who wanted to come with me. After I did the first one, another school contacted me. So I started traveling around Italy, and every step of the way, it's not, I never set out with this plan 15 years ago, I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be taking people to Italy. Everything just organically unfolded. My husband said to me once, after I'd been writing the blog, he said, "When are you going to write your book?" And I'm like, "What book? I'm not going to write a book." And then I sat and thought about it for a while, and I thought, every day I'm writing this blog. Every day I'm writing. Every day I'm putting together creative things to share with people. And in a way, I find writing then is very creative, and it's like painting with words. In fact, some of my reviewers have said that reading my books, it's like reading, she illustrates with words and she creates this painting with her words. The first book about Dreaming Sophia takes place in Florence, and it's kind of my own autobiography in some ways. My stay with my Italian family, the things I learned, the faux pas you make, or the inspiration, the things that you learn about Italy and how it kind of gets into you and changes you a little bit. I'm not thinking I'm going to get famous and rich from this book, but I just want to put it out there and have it be accepted and read by people. And I finished that, and then I'm like, I have all this knowledge now about making a book and writing a book. I got to write another one. So what was it going to be about? And so that's, at that point, I had been in Arezzo, which is now my place, my go-to place, my hometown, all the people in Arezzo are my family. And I wrote a book about the Giostra del Saracino, which is the big jousting festival. I just kept going,
That's good.
kept writing more.
That's good building upon everything. I mean, since you were saying Italians having so many things that they can talk about with food, things you learn over time when you're learning Italian, do you actually have a typical Italian saying or thought that is like one of your favorite ones?
Oh, non vedo l'ora. I can't wait to return. Non vedo l'ora di tornare in Italia.
Do you feel like there's a section of Italian that you still have yet to understand?
Passato remoto. I'm working on it.
Oh, that's so funny because I'm learning that now. I've been living in Rome for 20 years and I'm just now learning the passato remoto because my son is learning it in school. And this summer I had to quiz him on all these different verbs, and I got to the point where I'm like, I can figure out what it's going to be, even if I don't know it. And he was doing the same. He was figuring it out. I was figuring out. I'm like, I got the passato
Well,
remoto.
it's
I'm
mostly
so
a literary
excited.
tense. And if you can figure out the root of the verb, I mean, I read books all the time and I'm reading passato remoto. It's just really hard to pull it out of your brain because it is so irregular.
So
So it's interesting.
unexpected.
I got into teaching actually. At one point, I made this kind of like change because I was the studentessa, learning, learning, learning. And then all of a sudden, here, it was in Montepulciano. I had my group of people, and we were going on an excursion. And there are other people from Il Sasso, which is the school in Montepulciano, Silvia Celli school. And this woman came up to me and she goes, "Melissa, I'm learning all this stuff in my class, but I have no one to practice with. And it's difficult because I'm not grasping concepts. I'm not having the practice that I need. Would you sit down with me and go over my homework with me?" And I thought, this is interesting. I can help people in this way by just going reviewing things with them. And then during COVID, my programs were shut down. Obviously, we couldn't travel. And so then I started teaching online, and I went through a qualification for this online serving tutor service. And then I thought, one of the first assignments I had was a high school student, honor student, who needed to learn the passato remoto. And I got this request, and I was like, "Oh my goodness!" So I'm studying the whole week, getting ready to study, teach this kid passato remoto. But then I realized when I met him, he could barely conjugate present tense verbs. They basically just wanted him to recognize it, take like the first five most important Italian verbs, and so when you come across Pinocchio, when you open Pinocchio, it's filled with passato remoto, the first, two paragraphs. If you can train yourself so you don't freak out when you read a book and you see it, you can identify it and you can figure out pretty much what's being said. So when I figured that out, I'm like, okay, I got this. And then we went on, easier after that. But
How long do you think you were studying Italian before you started teaching it?
So the blog's about 15 years old, but I had started about 5 years prior to that. So I don't know. I always think to myself, I'm not fluent yet, but I think fluency now is relative. If you can make somebody laugh and you're having a good time and you're just kind of stumbling through it, that's a form of fluency. And I'm really hard on myself because I'm like, I can be better, I can get better, I can all the prepositions, you're still, there's so many nuances.
But on the other hand, I think a teacher who understands the struggles of coming from an English background is also useful for students who, I have a lot of Italian people ask me grammar about it, English, and I'm like, I don't
I
know,
know.
because I just grew up speaking it. I
I
understand the structure better.
learned English grammar better when I started learning Italian. Like, what's the conditional? What's the preposition? What's the, direct object? Blah, blah, blah. And it's true. People come to me and I start teaching them and working with them, and they're like, I'm glad I picked you because, I've worked with Italian. Nothing wrong with, I have loads of Italian teachers who are lovely, but they don't quite, they just kind of rattle things off and they don't understand my struggles coming from an English, background. I kind of been there, done that, and I know. For example, when I started learning Italian, I brushed through those first beginning chapters or pages really about how to pronounce Italian sounds, and it came back to bite me. I was not pronouncing my double consonants, and in Venice, one friend said, "Melissa, make sure you prolong the N in anno." Because you're not. It's not a good thing.
Just to clarify for Katie and anyone who's listening, anno with a double N is year, and anno with a single N is anus. So you got to be careful with words
Yeah, and
like
it's such a big thing for you to
that.
be understood and for them, Italians, to understand you, to make the right sounds. Most Americans learning the language, when they say restaurant, say ristorante. It's ristorante. You have to have that E. You have to really concentrate, make those
The
vowels.
vowels, because in Italian, vowels are very pure, and in English, they're very muddled. So you can kind of get away with muddling your vowels
And
in
you have
English,
to
and you
finish
cannot
that
in
word
Italian.
too, because that's very important to tell you whether it's a masculine, feminine, and everything falls, everything's married, adjectives, everything goes together. And double consonant, it can change the entire word, like you said, with anno and but casa, casa. So many things. It just changes the entire, you can get pick it up through context, but
Penne is another classic.
So is that where you have your students start? Is with that very basic? Because I was going to ask you, when it comes to teaching people a brand new language, say you have a student that comes to you being basically knowing nothing, where do you
Yeah,
even begin?
I go through that. I go through like sogno, sono. Can you hear the difference when I say it? So I'm always trying to help bring that out, the best pronunciation possible.
Imagine yourself stepping into the heart of one of the world's most legendary cities, with every turn revealing secrets only a select few have had the privilege to witness. You're not just a tourist, you're an insider, and you are experiencing Rome as it's meant to be seen. This October, from the 5th to the 11th, 2025, for one unforgettable week, Tiffany and I are offering you the chance to embark on an exclusive, tailor-made journey through the Eternal City. Each morning, we'll be your expert guides, taking you to Rome's hidden gems, places not found in guidebooks, places not crowded with tourists. We're talking about secret courtyards, forgotten chapels, and ancient ruins off the beaten path. And you'll see it all while learning about the stories that have shaped this magnificent city. But it's more than just sightseeing. It's about experiencing Rome. From sipping coffee in a secluded cafe overlooking the city to wandering through quiet, century-old streets where the footsteps of history seem to echo, and every moment is crafted to make you feel like you've unlocked the city's most intimate secrets. This is me, Katie, here,
with your invitation to step beyond the surface of Rome, to go deeper, to truly connect with a place that has captured the world's imagination for millennia. But here's the thing. This isn't a trip for everyone. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for those who want to invest in something more meaningful than just another vacation. You're not paying for just a tour. You're paying for a personal experience that might change how you see the world. So if you're intrigued, if you're ready to take that step and discover Rome in a way that only a lucky few ever will, then don't wait. Reach out to us now. Let us show you Rome like you've never seen it before. You can find details at our website, thebittersweetlife.net. You can also email us, bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com. Ready to make some history? Let's walk through it together this October. And give yourself something to look forward to. Back to the show. Let me ask you this. Your background was the German. You did terribly at the German. You hated the German. You know, then you love the Italian and go full bore on it. I mean, do you think that anyone can learn a language at any time? Or do you feel like, you know, you were wrong in your assessment about how terrible you were at German? You were actually probably better than the average bear, and yet...
Yeah, probably, but it scared me. I hated standing up and talking in German class when you have to give responses. And I think if it comes from deep inside and you really, really want to learn, there's no stopping you. If it's extrinsic and people are saying, oh, you got to go get an A, or you got to go do this, you got to get this to go on and do something else, you don't have that much invested in it. And at that time, I think I just totally, it was just all burning inside me. I just wanted to do it. So, and I think you can learn at any language. I think it's a big cop-out, a big excuse. If people say they don't, you know, I'm too old to learn it. You just aren't putting enough time or setting aside enough time to do it, either because you really don't want to, or you're just doing it extrinsically.
Well, I love what you talked when you were talking about at the beginning, about how you, you know, all the different things that you did to bring Italian into your life because you couldn't travel at that time. So that's my question, because I mean, a lot of people want to learn a language, and, you know, a lot of people do put in the time and the work to learn it and to become proficient. But beyond maybe a trip here and there, they don't have the opportunity to speak the language in their own hometown. So how can an average person who maybe, I don't know that writing every single day in Italian on a blog is for everybody. So what, do you have any other tips?
Oh yeah.
Level. For people to bring the language into their daily life.
It's not only writing about it. You have to be speaking it, listening to it, having it multiple ways. You can watch a Netflix movie now in almost any language. You can change over the settings so you can hear the language. Audiobooks, I think, are the best ways to achieving fluency. So I started a book club because I was watching a Netflix movie, Silvia Zucca's La Guida Astrologica di Cuori Infranti. So I ran out and I got the book and the audiobook, and I started listening to it. And I'm like, this would make a really cool book club. So I threw it out there that afternoon. I just put it out there. And by the end of the night, I had like 3 people sign up already. And it's a difficult book, but I create reader notes, and we read the book, and I threw this out at the very first meeting. I said, and you know what? By the end, I'm going to have Silvia Zucca come onto our book club Zoom call, and she's going to talk to us about her book. Laughingly, ha, ha, ha. But as we got into it and we were coming to the end, I'm like, hey, wouldn't that be really cool if we really got Silvia Zucca? And so I looked all over the internet and I contacted her. And by 6 o'clock the next morning, she responded, oh my God, I can't believe it. American women are reading your book, my book. And she was so thrilled. She invited herself onto my show or onto my book club. And we got to be friends. And when I showed up in Milan a year later, she and I went out and we had an afternoon together, and she showed me her Milan, as she called it. And I think what I love about the Italian language, I know I'm getting off track of the original question, but I become a different person when I speak Italian. I pretty much am a homebody. I like to just do my thing, do my work, do my writing, do my creative stuff at home. Couldn't care if I talked to anybody for 3 weeks. When I go to Italy, it's all about I will talk to anybody who will talk back to me, and I will, and they do, and we become friends, and all of a sudden we're having these experiences, just like the waiter at one of these little seaside towns. Turned out his girlfriend was a medic at the Giostra, and all of a sudden we were like, oh, we had this in common. We were talking, and I just like the connections, and I become a more open. I don't know what it is about the language, but it just. Not everybody's like that, and I understand when they're learning, they're intimidated about speaking with other people. But I'm like, I chose Mata as my crazy student because I think wonderful things happen when you really open up and you just forget about, you forget about your inhibitions, you forget about being right, perfect. And if you just kind of like throw yourself in there, and I will knock on doors when people are, you don't shouldn't do that. I'm like, yeah, let's go try. And we get invited in and we
Why would you say that you're not?
love
Why
that.
would you say you're not that way when you're at home?
I like to get things done. I'm very focused. I like my creativity. I like to be creative at home, and it's I set that aside when I go to Italy. I'm not there to focus on fixing my website.
One last question. I see you live in Austin, Texas, when you're not in Italy, very different from Italy. Would you ever consider, especially as your kids maybe are getting older, I don't know where they are, if they're out of the house yet or not quite, but like, would you ever move to
I
Italy?
don't think so. I like my American life. I like the ease of my American life, but I spend 3 months of the year in Italy because I like the adventure. I like traveling around Italy. And my Italian friends say, you've been probably more places in Italy than I have. I live in Rome or Milan. And, when we go traveling, we have to go see family or we only go one place. And I go visit my homestay teachers or I drag my husband place. He doesn't speak Italian, but he's my autista. And he will go anywhere I go. And I don't want to marry Italy. I want to have the love affair with Italy. So, I rent apartments. Everybody said, when are you going to buy your house? And I don't really want to be tied to one place in Italy, but I want to embrace the entire country, so to speak, and have the flexibility. But Arezzo, like I said, that is my all go-to place. I just love it there.
Well, we're going to put your website in the show notes, but do you want to tell people how to find you if they need an Italian teacher or any other of the
Yeah, you can find me. I'm still at www.vuvuvu studentessamata.com. It's studentessa. It's kind of a hard, people have a hard time with that, but mata.com. Just one other thing. So the language just has opened so many doors to people, and the people connection is the thing that drives really my language learning, meeting friends. Amazing things can happen, I think, if you really put your mind to it.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for coming on and joining us on the show. It's really great to meet you and to hear your
Well, thank you.
story.
It's nice to meet you guys too.
Yes, your enthusiasm is infectious.
All right. Well, we will leave it there. And until next time, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell.
I'm Tiffany Parks.
Join us again. Bye. It's rare to find a podcast that has aired for over a decade, but this podcast is one, and you can be a sponsor of it. Reaching a loyal group of engaged and thoughtful people who relish travel, new experiences, and lifelong learning. Get the conversation started by visiting the support tab at thebittersweetlife.net.